Welcome back. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I hope your afternoon is going well. My name's Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to Wisconsin's Attorney General Josh Call for joining us in the last segment to talk about his big win. We've got another one of my, I'll just say it, favorite elected officials from the state of Wisconsin. This one, my very own mayor, City of Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Mr. Mayor.
Maggie, I am happy to be back with you.
Yeah, we finally got some summer-type weather going on here. Where's it been?
Look, I don't know, but I can tell you my kids are happy that it's here. They've been clamoring for it for a little bit.
Absolutely. Get those sprinklers going. That was my activity when I was a kid in the city in the summer to cool off. No in-ground pools where I grew up, I'm just saying. let's talk a little bit about what has transpired over the last week. Donald Trump has always had it in for blue cities and especially Democratic mayors, Democratic states. That rhetoric has only accelerated over the last week and a half. Let's take a listen. This is Donald Trump within the last couple of days talking about targeting Democratic cities. I don't know how else to put it.
I want them to focus on the cities because the cities are where you really have what's called sanctuary cities, and that's where the people are. I look at New York, I look at Chicago. I mean, you got a really bad governor in Chicago and a bad mayor, but the governor's probably the worst in the country, Pritzker. But I look at how that city has been overrun by criminals and, you know, New York and L.A., look at L.A. L.A., those people weren't from L.A. They weren't from California, most of those people, many of those people. And, yeah, that's a focus. Biden allowed 21 million people to come into our country.
And he goes on, he just insert more nonsense at the end of that blathering. And even in the wake of the assassinations in Minnesota this weekend, Donald Trump late on Sunday posting on social media what can only be described as an unhinged rant, sort of doubling down on this idea of targeting Democratic cities. As a sitting Dem mayor of a large Midwestern city, Mr. Johnson, what's going through your head as you're hearing all this from the president?
Well, I mean, it's typical Donald Trump, and I'm sorry to be exasperated when I'm answering the question. It's not you. It's just the exhaustion that all of us collectively said we were not going to be in this administration, this Trump 2.0 administration. But unfortunately, here we are again, just because that's what he does. That's what he does. I mean, it's create a problem and then say that you fix the problem. You know, he's saying that, we're going to go in and fix the cities and make them safe again and make them clean again, because he likes to put again after every, thing that he says for whatever reason. But then, when he leaves, it's the same way that it was, And then the other thing too here is I don't even think he actually believes it. I think he's playing, a tough guy on TV when he's behind the seal of the president, unfortunately. Why do I say that? I say that because, look, before the RNC of Milwaukee, or during the RNC of Milwaukee, rather, he actually called me and said how great the city was and how remarkable the public safety was doing, and all those things. And Milwaukee was great. Milwaukee was excellent. That's what he told me directly, which is a far cry from when he, puts on the mask and gets behind, the seal or on the campaign trail and says that, Milwaukee's a horrible city. So I think some of it is just him playing a game. But that's the danger in this, though. You're supposed to be able to believe what your elected officials say, especially when that elected official is the president of the United States.
Yeah, it is a dangerous game. And I wanted to ask you, Mr. Mayor, this additional question about this, and I share your exasperation. I hate having to ask these same things because, if the guy would stand up and lead and try to unify, we wouldn't have to have these kinds of conversations. One of the things that concerns me about this moment is that, as many political scientists and historians will note, as rhetoric that is dehumanizing about people or people in particular places, as that dehumanizing rhetoric increases, so do incidents of political violence, because to the extent mm-hmm. that you can see and believe that your political opposition is inhuman, it is much easier to do things that you would have previously considered to be far beyond the pale. And so as Donald Trump says these things, I don't think he thinks Milwaukeeans or Chicagoans or New Yorkers believe what he's saying. I think he's trying to create a permission structure where things like deployment of the National Guard and active duty Marines is acceptable by his base. When you look at how we move forward and how we deal with this as a political matter, how do we counter that as Milwaukeeans or as Wisconsinites, not even blue and red, if we want to come together and find some place of unity to say to this administration, that's not an okay way to conduct business because it is so abnormal. It is such an abrogation of leadership. What do you think the pathway forward to do that might be?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. And you're right, I mean, about his rhetoric. Now, we all had, you know, conversations about toning down the political rhetoric in light of the assassination attempts on his life, right? And so it's really, really unfortunate that on his part, on the president's part, that behavior has just continued to happen. I mean, he's gone on to say not just, you know, inhumane things about other people, and not just other people, fellow Americans, right? Fellow countrymen and fellow countrywomen. He's called people vermin. You know, he says that, you know, the media is fake. I remember some of his rallies when he was first running for president saying, oh, you know, if somebody like that were to come in a place like here, they'd be, you know, they'd have to leave out on a stretcher. He, you know, calls places like ours, you know, horrible cities where people live. He's said that people in this country are the enemy within, all of these things. And so, yeah, that's dehumanizing. And yeah, it takes away, I think, inhibitions from people who might act on, you know, some of their thoughts that probably otherwise would not if we had somebody in the White House who was actually a leader, actually a uniter, actually bringing people together. But I think the way that we address it in this moment is by not giving him what he wants, because what he wants more than anything at all, is to be able to press that button, is to be able to mobilize, you know, and federalize the armed forces to be able to go after fellow American citizens, especially in blue cities like ours. So we can't give him what he wants. That's why I was so proud this past Saturday when you know, there were the No Kings protests all across the United States, including here in Milwaukee, you know, thousands and thousands of people showing up and exercising their First Amendment rights under the Constitution, and doing it in a peaceful way. There was no reason at all for him to even think about trying to mobilize, you know, the National Guard or send in, you know, troops to this blue city, to Milwaukee or even to Madison, because of the way that we conducted ourselves exercising our First Amendment rights. That is how we get around it. That's how we get through it, rather, is by doing it peacefully. And look, the First Amendment is the first one for a reason. You have the right to protest government. You have the right to protest when elected officials are beyond the scope, as the president has been. That, I think, is far, far more American than what the president's actions and words have been.
Folks, this is Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson talking with us here at the Maggie Dawn Show. You brought up the No Kings rallies across the nation, upwards of 6+ million, some estimates putting it closer to 10 million. Historians and many that study political movements point to a particular percentage as the tipping point or an indicator of whether or not the movement is really about to effectuate regime change. And that percentage is 3.5%. We don't need to go into the theorists that came up with this, but that is around 11 million people in the United States. And we know from research just released today from a Harvard historian that we have seen well more than 11 million people over just these beginning months of Trump's second administration show up repeatedly. And that in addition to just the raw numbers, of people, the numbers of protests and the places that they are happening, including smaller cities, smaller communities in rural areas and more redder districts and congressional districts, that we are approaching potentially a tipping point. Mr. Mayor, do you think that we are at that tipping point where the potential impacts of this big, brutal bill, the Senate markup coming down today, the cuts to Medicaid by the Senate, even more grave than what the House adopted, do you think we may be reaching that tipping point?
Yeah, I mean, if you were not in favor of what the House passed, which were the president's priorities, right? It's Republicans that control the House of Representatives, then you're really, really going to hate what the Senate passed or is considering, because it's, you know, even more harsh than what the House of Representatives put forward before. And this is the thing that I think people that voted for the president this go around, this is what I think that they don't understand, that they did not get, right? When he's talking about, you know, doing some things, I think, you know, some of us can agree on in terms of working to make sure that government is more efficient, right? Everybody wants it to be more efficient. We don't want to waste money. But when it's like full scale, take not just a butcher knife, but a chainsaw, as you saw Elon Musk wielding at the CPAC, to government and to the services, it doesn't just affect the blue cities that the president talks about and likes to villainize. It affects you too. You think when a cut to SNAP happens, it affects just, you know, poor black people or Latino people? No, it affects poor white people too. When folks get kicked off of health insurance in Wisconsin, some 63,000 people getting kicked off, that's not all going to be felt in the city of Milwaukee. That's going to be felt in communities all across the state, including in counties and communities across Wisconsin that need that assistance. I was just the other day with an organization called Community Smiles, and they operate in Waukesha, and they serve families with children who have dental needs that don't have health insurance. And I bring this up only because there is a connection with some of the actions of the president here. I bring it up because they told me, and I was astounded by this, that their clientele, many of them come from Milwaukee, and that I could see. But he said that they get so many other clients from not just the core counties in southeastern Wisconsin. They get clientele that comes to them in Waukesha from 14 other counties around southeast Wisconsin, in the southeast region of the state. That says that in those communities, there are people who live in poverty and need assistance, and this president is hurting those people too. So, yes, I do think we're getting to that tipping point where people are starting to realize that, hey, yes, I voted for him because I wanted him to deport the criminals, not to deport, you know, this, you know, teacher's aide in Milwaukee Public Schools who is now in El Salvador with her twins. That's a problem.
Yeah. Folks, that is Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. Thank you so much, sir, for spending some of your Tuesday afternoon. I hope your girls are enjoying the summertime weather and stay cool, Mr. Mayor. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thanks, Maggie.
Good to talk with the mayor always. When we come back, we've got some breaking news coming out of Janesville. It appears that there may have been folks killed in a shooting happening in Janesville. We've got details coming in. That breaking news I'll have for you on the other side. Keep it locked. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.